I am back, and this week I want to talk to you about handwriting and all of the ins and outs of what we look for in tutoring sessions and the things that I have personally found that really helps our kids who are struggling with handwriting. Let's jump in. Okay, so handwriting. Handwriting's a really interesting one for so many reasons. And one thing that I have seen, I guess, a trend of is that for a lot of our students now, because we use iPads and computers and typing and, you know, devices and things so much, the art of handwriting and the way that students are also forming their letters and working out their ideas on a page is kind of diminishing. And this has actually been occurring for quite a while, a really long period of time. I would say that even when I started teaching in high schools in 2011, there were a lot of students then that were struggling with handwriting at that stage. So if we think about the amount of time that's been between 2011 and 2022, then of course the issues with handwriting have just, I guess, gotten more, became larger, and perhaps bigger. One of the things that was put into the curriculum during the last curriculum change in 2012 was specific indicators and specific outcomes to do with handwriting, yet we're still seeing a lot of students hit year 12 with the most difficult handwriting to read. Now, a lot of people will go to an occupational therapist for assistance with handwriting, which is fantastic if it's a, you know, a motor skill issue, which it normally is. But a lot of the time, we do need to make sure in our tutoring sessions that we are using things to assist our students with their handwriting as well. So, in a session with our students, in an assessment session, we would usually get students to write something down for us. So a sentence, to plan some ideas, you know, if they can, to then construct a story. And while they're doing those things, we're actually looking at the whole gamut of what that is, which a big part of that are components to do with handwriting and assessing how the student is handwriting. So when we're looking at handwriting, we're actually looking at several things. So firstly, we're thinking about, well, how well can your child think about a sentence or a concept, idea, paragraph, and then write that idea on the page? That is, you know, often the one thing that we find students struggle with the most, although it's not specifically handwriting focused, but being able to form an idea and then write it down in a way that makes sense with a pen and paper is the first issue that we occasionally see students have. But the second thing that we're looking at is that when they're then writing their idea down, where are the pauses occurring? So what I mean by pauses is that often when a student is writing a sentence, you will actually see them or your child actually stop in specific places. So we see the pauses in several spots. We might see the pause as they begin the sentence because they're just not sure how to put their idea on the page. We might see the pause when they're trying to form a specific letter, and so that would indicate that your child is not fluent at how to form the letter and how to form the letter fluently and quickly in a way that doesn't stop the thoughts that they're having going onto the page. And then we might also see that a student might pause when they get to a word that they're unsure to spell, or unsure of how to spell, sorry, And so they're trying to think about the different letter sounds and what letter sounds will then make the words on the page correct. The next thing that we look at with handwriting though is, does your child pick a different word to use if it's spelling that they're struggling with? Do they stop and break the sounds apart to accurately identify the spelling of a word, or do they just give up and scribble it out or pick a different word to use? So that's like the first three things. And like I said, sometimes you might not be thinking that, well, that's not necessarily handwriting. We might be thinking that handwriting is the formation of letters. But all of these elements go into how your child is confidently picking up a pen and pencil to write their ideas. That's just the first three. The other things that we're looking at are things like use of punctuation. So is there the basic capital letter and full stop? Is the sentence that they're writing a simple sentence that just has one idea in it, or are there more complex ideas in there? So where we find students can join two or more ideas together. And then we actually start looking at the handwriting on the page. Are the letters legible? Can we read what letters they're forming? Are there spacing, or is there correct spacing between the letters? When they're actually forming the letters, are they forming them properly and correctly, or is the way they're forming them a bit disjointed, which then will obviously impact the way that they're thinking to put their ideas on the page? How are they holding the pen or pencil, and are they able to write on the lines? And can they actually see the lines they're writing on, which is a big one as well. But like everything, when we need to find something that works to fix a problem and work on the problems that they're presenting with, sometimes it'll be a mix of different things that we might use in an actual session to assist with handwriting. I'm not going to go into forming ideas, writing the sentences and punctuation today. Today, I'm just going to talk to you about things that you could use for letter formation, and they're things that I really love, as well as the things that I really love doing if the student struggles with gaps in between their words. There is a few other things that I'll pop in as well for you to consider, but that was the first thing I wanted you to think about, is that handwriting is a whole range of different skills, which is the same as reading and the same as comprehension and the same as when we look at different maths concepts. There are always different layers to what we're looking at and different skills that interlay with that. So firstly, for letter formation, I always like to have students practice away from the page first. You know, you're thinking big, exaggerated movements like air writing, which really helps students to rebuild and build neuron connection pathways in the brain, and have a bit of fun with that as well. Once a child is able to form a letter in the air, and you know, you're thinking, I want you, like a mirror, I want you to mirror what I'm doing. I want you to think about, like, you'll then do it backwards so it looks the right way in the air, or you could do it side by side with them. But if we can get the child to actually form the letter correctly in the first place in the air, then they will know which way, where to start at a letter, which way to go round, where to put, you know, which way to do first, which way to do second type thing before we put it onto an actual book or a whiteboard. Usually once we're able to get students to form the letter in the air, you then want to move to a whiteboard that is large enough and on a vertical wall, because it's actually easier for students to form letters on a vertical surface as well. It's bigger, it's easier for them to write bigger as well, which is why when we're starting to teach students or even kids how to write on a page, you'll find that their writing is quite big because it's easier for them. They don't have the fine motor skills needed or the fine motor skills developed to be able to write smaller, which is why they write large. And there's nothing wrong with that. So when you are getting your child to write on a whiteboard, all of this letter formation should be attached with the sounds of the letters and the names of the letters together for several reasons. So if you're teaching your child the letters of the alphabet only, it means that when they learn how to read and connect the sounds to the alphabet, it will not be as easy for them to connect those sounds, because this is the first way that we teach our kids the sound that's connected to the script, which is the whole purpose of writing, is that we are going to write a script and we're going to teach you how to write that script. So make sure that you're teaching both of those two things together, which is again the sound, so A for the letter A. And if you teach your child that A, here's the letter A and A makes A, we don't need to connect it to anything else. You know, we're just trying to get them to get used to the formation of the letter. Always remember to do, you know, all capitals and then all little letters, because that will help them distinguish what those two things look like in print as well. You might, if you only focus on little letters, for example, you might find that when your child starts to read, when they look at the page, they're not sure what the capital A looks like, which again is why we teach these two things with sounds and letter combinations together. So once you've got your child doing things on a vertical whiteboard, then you might then find a larger base texter as well. So larger texters are easier for children to hold. Some of the texters you might find might have the triangle grip on them as well. The reason why we start with whiteboard and forming letters in the air, or the reason why I like to start with those two things, is because we're only focusing on what does the letter look like and how do I form the letter. I'm not adding that pressure of you're not holding your pen or pencil properly on top of that. So again, something else to think about. If we can teach the letters in a way where we're only teaching the letters and the letter sounds, then it takes away the stress and the pressure for your child or for the student to then be going, oh, I've got to hold my pencil properly or my pen properly or my texter properly on top of all of that as well, which can be really overwhelming, because then we're asking them to do, you know, three or four things instead of one or two things. So once you have the formation on a vertical whiteboard, you then want to move to a mini whiteboard. So obviously it will force your student or your child to perhaps write a little bit smaller, but students are more willing to also practice things on something like a mini whiteboard or even a magic, what do they call the magic things where you erase it? You can write on with a pencil and erase it. But a lot of students who are practicing spelling, so, you know, you're thinking year one, year two level students, year three, even those in higher grades who need to work on spelling, you'll have more success with spelling on a mini whiteboard because they can erase their responses more easily. And it also adds that novelty idea. So just to recap, they're the first things that I would be looking at when I'm looking at letter formation and how I'm forming those letters, because it is quite difficult for, you know, a young child to remember which way to go around the letter, and then to remember all of the additional things on top. So by the time you're moving to paper, you then want to be thinking about a few of the following things. So firstly, does my student or child actually have a strong enough core to sit up straight? I'm going to come back to this one in a second. The second thing you're wanting to think about is, can their feet touch the ground comfortably? Because they're two things that then also will add difficulty onto having to write. The first thing that I said there about strong enough core to sit up straight. I had a tutor, was it last year or the year before? But her daughter was a child physiotherapist, and she actually had said the reason why we find a lot of students might be hunched over and like lie down on the table and in the classroom when they're writing is because their core is not strong enough to help them sit up and sit up comfortably. So not here to tell you to get your kids to do sit-ups, but it is something to consider. Is that, you know, is sitting up straight in a chair really difficult for my child or for the students in my classroom to do? And how can I support them and help them with that? But then also, if my student or my child can't, their feet can't touch the ground, then that's also going to cause issues in terms of writing on a page as well and comfortable. So the other thing that you might want to think about is that you may invest in a slope board. Slope boards, they allow for the book or the page to be at an elevation. So it means they're not flat on the desk. And a lot of students will find that when it's elevated a little bit, it's easier for them to work on the page and easier for them to form their writing. Because to do something flat on the page can, or flat on a desk, can then create more issues for some students. And then you also want to make sure that you're trying to get your child or your student to write with outlines first, because that then removes yet another struggle that they may have, which is trying to stay within or on a line. Again, these types of things are when we're really working on formation of letters with students. If you are then adding in lines, if you're adding in the dotted lines and a student needs to remember what on earth they're supposed to do with the dotted lines, although I love green grass sky lines as well, where it's still dotted lines but it's the colors, and the colors help the student to figure out where to start and how to form their letters. I wouldn't start using that until letter formation is quite fluent for the individual. But there are also other activities that can also help with the formation of letters, and then like what letters look like. So making letters and words with Play-Doh is a good one. It's a sensory-based activity. It helps to check that the student understands what the letter might look like before they write it on the page as well, or write it on the whiteboard, or any of those combinations of things. You might use a sand tray to help form the letter in the sand. They're super easy to make. You just need baking tray or brownie tray, like with sides is better. You need sand. You can get coloured sand from anywhere for cheap, from cheap shops, variety stores, Kmart, Big W, etc., etc. And you then get the child to form the letter in the sand tray. Again, it's another sensory thing. You might find if a student struggles with sensory, then that might not be the best way to work with letter formation. But it is something that can help them then work on how they form their letters. But you can then also practice air writing on different surfaces. So things like brick walls, sandpaper, and then doing things like with chalk outside. They're all sensory-based activities to help strengthen the student's understanding of how to form a letter. Now, I am not an OT, but I have found those things work the best when I'm working with a student who's struggling with handwriting, as well as work the best for my tutors as well. Now, that's kind of the first chunk, right? How do I get my child to form the letters, connect what a little letter and a capital letter look like, to connect the script to the sound, all of those things. But that is the first part of letter formation. If you can get your students or your child to form the letters correctly in the first place, it means that when they go to then put ideas on a page, they're not stopping to think about how do I form these letters. And the letter formation is so fluent for them that it's not a barrier to putting things on a page. The other thing that I wanted to chat quickly about today was if a student struggles with gaps in their words, because this is often another thing that I find students struggle with a lot. Not only is it taxing on the student to be consciously thinking about what they want to put on a page and how to form the letters and what letters they need to spell words and how to stay on the lines, but then when they need to remember to leave a gap in their writing as well, it's overwhelming and it's a lot of things that we're asking of them. The first thing that I love is space jumps. I saw this idea and it was about 6 years ago when I first started doing tutoring, but you can print a little person or a little spaceman and you glue it to the end of a paddle pop stick. You might start with a larger base paddle pop stick for really young students, but they pop the spaceman in the gap to help them to remember to leave a gap in their writing between words. I find the spaceman and the paddle pop stick a bit easier than a child trying to do the finger spaces. Although finger spaces mean that we don't need other equipment, if the child is left-handed, to do a finger space is really awkward compared to a right-handed child, because we've then got to put our arm over the top. And that's something that you want to be thinking about. Myself as a left-handed student or a left-handed person, I know how hard it is to do finger spaces, but with a paddle pop stick, it makes it a lot easier. You can then move to a smaller size paddle pop stick as the child or your student is starting to remember to leave those gaps, or you want them to leave a smaller gap, but they just pop the stick man between each of the words they're writing. If you are practicing just writing, it's also helpful then to get the student to tell you the sentence that they want to write, because again, that takes off one of the burdens for students. Sometimes the barrier for students to write something down is that combination. I don't know how to write the sentence, but I know what I want to say. And if we ask them what they want to say and we write it for them and they're just copying it, because that's what we're practicing, writing, then that's a fantastic way to get your student or your child to write the sentence for you. And like I said, it's important that if we are doing handwriting practice, then we are just doing handwriting practice until the child is confident with all of those elements we're looking at for handwriting. If we remove the idea generation and we help them with that, if we remove vocabulary, sentence structure, spelling and punctuation issues, then we can just focus on the handwriting. But if your child or your student still struggles with something like a physical space jumper, or you're looking to move to something that is not so much of a physical reminder, then you might consider doing this. And this is something I've found really helpful for my students in particular, is getting a math grid book, but one with the larger boxes to use. So you get the student to put one letter into each box, and then between words, there's a one box gap. It's a game changer for students who struggle with gaps in their sentences, because all they need to remember is I need to leave one box between my words, and it makes a miracle of a difference. You might find that the student with messy handwriting works so much better when they have access to a sentence that they've come up with, even the spelling of the words that they want to use in that sentence, and it helps them with their confidence for handwriting. Like I said before, it's better than focusing on everything that we're asking a student to do when they're doing writing. The other things that you might find work as you are moving them through to pages that don't have boxes on them and you're wanting this child to write on a line, you want to check that the child can actually see the lines on the page. I have had a huge number of students who actually say that, say the blue lines, the lines bend and so they can't write straight on the line, but black lines might not bend for them. I only found that out when I was doing Erlen Screener training, but it is a game changer and something to really be thinking about and considering. Can they see the lines on the page? If you are then getting your student or child to write where they have to remember then to leave the gaps. You could use Skittles or M&Ms, and if you can pop a Skittle or an M&M in each of the gaps of the words, then they get to eat them. So it's something fun for the students to do, but it's a reminder as well, like I need to leave that gap between the words so that I can see what those words are. Other things that you're wanting to think about is things like different size pens, texters, pen grips, and pen weights. All of these different things can change the way that your child is writing on a page, and they can help strengthen our muscles in our hands to help us control the pens and the pencils and everything else properly. Because a lot of the time it's the control that the student is struggling with, but all of those different things can help with handwriting too. For some students, they can make such a huge difference to their writing. But for others, it can be a hindrance and even a distraction. So that's something else to think about. There are things like dolphin grips that you can get to help, your child or student hold the pencil properly. Tri grips like the triangle. There are so many different things available. It might mean that you're trying 5, 6, 7 different things to try and see what will make the difference in handwriting for your student or your child, but it is well worth it. But the last thing to remember is that handwriting is a long-term thing. There's not always an easy and a quick fix with handwriting. Like I said at the beginning, we see that there has been a huge decline in handwriting because students are using iPads for school. It means that you might need to set consistent handwriting practice to keep the skill alive, because if we stop using something or we don't use it as much, it's always going to be harder and harder to keep using it. Specifically because a lot of the HSC exams, or most of them actually, are still on written on paper. So that's like a long-term goal if we're talking about kids in kindergarten and year one, etc., etc. But the child in year 12 needs to write 6 to 12 pages per essay with a pen and paper. So that, you know, is something that you also want to consider. If you have a child who is doing the HSC though, and they are struggling with handwriting and their hands cramping and their hand is just killing them, then you want to look for something like a pen weight that helps build those muscles in their hands a little bit more, so when they take it off for their exam, writing is so much easier. Anyway, I didn't think that this episode would actually go for so long. There are so many things that can go into handwriting and how we can assist students and our children with their handwriting. A lot of it's trial and error, but hopefully I gave you some ideas today. If you are looking for more resources, jump to our website, www.breakawaytuition.com.au. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. And if you're looking for some tutoring for your child, always make sure you flick me an email, info@breakawaytuition.com.au, and I will try and find the best tutor to work with your child. Hope you all have a lovely afternoon.